Today's shiur is Masechet Shavuos, Daf Mem Dalad. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom, Lema Katanoi. In our previous shiur, we had learned that Shmuel taught us a halacha, that if somebody lends somebody else money and gives them a mashkin, gives them security, it is the opinion of Shmuel that whatever the value of the security is, if the malva does not return that to the, if the malva doesn't return it to the loiva, then the halacha will be that the malva doesn't, that the loiva doesn't have to return the money that's owed to him. It says that the loiva owes to the malva. So the Gemara wants to suggest that this halacha that Shmuel taught us is the subject of a machlokes tanoim. Lameka tanoim, the Gemara suggests that this is the subject of a machlokes tanoim. Because the Braisa teaches us, Hamavis Chaveroi Alamashkin, if somebody lends money to someone else and gives him a mashkin, and then V'Avara Mashkin, and then that mashkin gets lost, Yeshava, the Malva should swear that it got lost, that he wasn't Peshayam, and once he makes that Shvua, Yitos Ma'asav, he's entitled to get back his money from the Loiva. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. And as the Chassam Sofer explains, the Shvua that the Brice is saying that he's going to have to make really has two parts to it. One part is that he's going to have to make a Shvua that he's not holding on to the Mashkin anymore. And the second Shvua that he's going to make is that it got lost, and not that he was in any way Poshea, not that he was in any way negligent with this Mashkin. Rekiva's opinion is, Yochel Sheyamaloi, the Loiva could say to the Malva, Klum Havisani Ela Mashkin, you only lent me money because you were expecting the you wanted the Mashkin, you wanted to hold on to the Mashkin. And therefore, Avad Mashkin, if the Mashkin is no longer here, Avad Mayasecha, you lose your money. Ava, continues the Braisa, Mava Ava Suz Bishtar, if you lend somebody money with a shtar, the nich mashkin biyodai, and besides that, there's the shtar which backs up the proof that the money is owed. But there's also a mashkin, the divrei hakol, everybody would agree, there's no machloikis of a mashkin of a maisav, that if the malva loses the mashkin, then the loiva doesn't have to pay back. And ask the Gemara, ask the Brice itself, heichidam, exactly what is being discussed here. Either Shavish Yezuzi, if the Mashkin is the same value as the amount of money that the Loiva owes, so then my time to Rebbe Lezer. Why would Rebbe Lezer hold that the Loiva would have to pay back? If the Mashkin is equal to the value of the Chayv, so now it's quite presumable that when the Malva took the Mashkin, the reason the Malva took the Mashkin was for this very reason. That if the loiva won't pay back, then the malva will have the mashkin from where to collect the money from. And therefore, since he's relying on the mashkin, he became a shemesacha on that mashkin. And if he became a shemesacha on that mashkin, he's certainly responsible if it gets stolen or if it gets stolen or lost. And therefore, why would the loiva have to pay? Elalav, how must we explain that the Brice is speaking about? We're speaking about a case, the loy shavish yezuzi, that the mashkin is not equal in value to the value of the loan. And presumably, the machloikis here is over what Shmuel said. Rebbe Elazar disagrees with Shmuel, and he says that if the mashkin is worth less than the debt, the malva can't keep, the mashkin is not here to be instead of the debt. The mashkin is only here to be some sort of a pledge that he has to pay. And therefore, since it's only here as a pledge or a proof that he has to pay, so therefore, he's only a shemachinam on that mashkin. And therefore, if the mashkin get lost, the malva is not responsible. All he needs to do is swear that he wasn't pesheya, swear that he wasn't negligent. And once he swears that he wasn't negligent, he will be completely, he'll be able to collect the entire amount of money that
is that is owed to him. Whereas Rabbi Akiva's opinion is, like Shmuel, that even though the mashkin is worth less than the obligation, he takes the mashkin is there in place of the chayv. And therefore, if what he set, what he agreed upon was that if he loses the mashkin, he won't have a right to collect the chayv. Because once he got the mashkin, he becomes a shomer socher on the mashkin, who's responsible, says the Gemara, loy. So the Gemara is suggesting that what Shmuel's been telling us is a machlokes tanoim. Says the Gemara, loy, that's not the way to say. But the loy shavi, in a case where the mashkin is not equal to the value of the loan, says the Gemara, kulam alas of the Shmuel, everybody will not hold like Shmuel. And they will not hold that taking the mashkin meant that he's accepting upon himself that if something happens to the mashkin, he has no right to collect the chayv. That isn't what is the question. Hacha, we go back to what we said before, but the shavish yezuzi, where the mashkin is equal to the value of the chayv. So the Gemara said a moment ago that in a case where the mashkin is equal to the value of the chayv, presumably everybody would agree that since he lost the mashkin, he can't collect the debt. So the Gemara, he actually hit a machlokes is over something Rabbi Yitzchak kamifli, something Rabbi Yitzchak taught us. Rabbi Yitzchak, now Balchayv shekana mashkin. How do we know that Balchayv takes ownership in the mashkin, that it's considered his until the loan is paid up? Because the pasuk teaches us regarding a mashkin that if somebody receives a mashkin, a malva receives a mashkin, but the mashkin that he received is something which is essential to the loiva, so he has to return it to the loiva. So if it's something that the loiva needs to have every night, so every night he returns that object to the loiva, and in the morning he gets it back, or vice versa. And the pasuk, when describing this behavior, says the malva who acts this way, the pasuk says, "Hosha tashvalayas avoid kavaya shemesh." And then the pasuk says the malva who acts this way, it's considered he did tztaka. So that is a proof, says Rabbi Yitzchak. And if the malva is not considered the owner of the mashkin, you could only do tztaka b'menayin loy. That tztaka is only possible if you do it with something that you own. So this is a proof that the mashkin is his. Mikan, from here we see about Chayv Kana Mashkin. It becomes here, his. So we're going to learn. The Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Yitzchak, and therefore if the mashkin gets lost, and he can't return it to the loiva, he lost the debt. Rabbi Lezer disagrees with Rabbi Yitzchak, and he doesn't hold that the mashkin ever really became the malvis. And therefore, he's no more than a shoy mechinim on the mashkin. And therefore, it doesn't affect that even if he unfortunately lost the mashkin, that the loiva still has to pay. So this is the way Rashi and many Rishonim learned this Gemara, that according to Rabbi Yitzchak, the malva becomes the full-fledged owner of the mashkin. And that's why if something happens to him, it's his responsibility to the degree that even if there was an oinus, say these rishonim, something completely beyond the control of the malva, he still will be held responsible because it's his item that he owns. Tosfos and the Rif disagree. And they say that even though the Gemara is teaching us that the malva has very serious rights in this mashkin, it's not to the degree that even if there was an oinus, he would be held responsible. What would be the nafkamina? The question would be, how does the halacha look at this person? There's a number of ways that the Rishonim debate, how does the halacha look at it? Does the halacha look at him as he's a full-fledged owner? Does the halacha look at him like he's a shoyl? And a shoyl is, even though it's not an owner, but he's still chayv ba'intzim? Or does the halacha look at him even less than that, as Tosfos said, that it's considered that he's not going to be chayiv if there's oinus. The obvious nafkamina would be if he could use this mashkin to be mekadesh an isha. Does it becomes, to what degree is it his, that would he be able to use it to marry a woman, which of course we know you could only marry a woman with money that you own. The Rishonim also point out, specifically according to the opinion, that the mashkin is not so much his, but the pasuk is still calling the malva, who is ready to let to give back to do to give back to the loiva every night the mashkin, that l'chati tztaka. So here we see that the fulfill to do tztaka, it doesn't have to be completely yours. Enough that you have enough of an ownership on it that it will be considered that you're doing tztaka. Well, in other words, what they're saying is the definition of tztaka doesn't mean that you're losing money. Here he's not losing money, but he's still considered that he's doing tztaka when he gives back the mashkin. The question also would be, if somebody has dalad minim, can he use it as a has dalad minim as a mashkin? And the halacha is that the dalad minim has to be lekachten lochem, has to belong to you. Is a mashkin considered his to the degree that he could fulfill the mitzvah dalad minim with it? The shalos meishu, the shalos tshuvos meishu discusses this, and he says that it's not considered to that degree yours. The Sefer Aruch Yisharim explains this Gemara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is considered a Baal Chayiv. We owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets the mashkin, and he takes the mashkin, which is our neshama, and he gives it back to us every morning. And the pasuk, in describing it this way, says, L'chati etztaka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is such a wonderful bat tztaka. Let's think about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us back the neshama every morning, a tremendous act of tztaka. Even maybe we don't deserve to get it back. And that's why it's when we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'cha etztaka, that's what we mean. The tztaka that he takes the mashkin every night when we don't need it, so to speak, our neshama, and returns it to us every morning, L'cha etztaka, that is the tztaka that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us. So the Gemara wants to suggest, as we just said, that what Rabbi Yitzchak said is really the subject of a machlokes of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar, with Rabbi Akiva holding like Rabbi Yitzchak, and Rabbi Elazar not holding by like Rabbi Elazar. Says the Gemara, Batizbara, does that make sense? Because when we speak about a mashkin, there are two times that a person gives a mashkin. One is at the time of the loan, and one is later on, where the malva tells the loiva, I'm concerned about the repayment situation here, and that's why I want the mashkin. So says the Gemara, Eimadam Rabbi Yitzchak, when did Rabbi Yitzchak say that the malva becomes the owner of the mashkin? Shemishkanai shaloi b'shas havah. When the malva came to get payment for his loan, the loiva wasn't able to pay, so at that point, the malva demands a mashkin. The reason the Gemara is explaining it this way is because the pasuk that Rabbi Yitzchak used is a pasuk about that type of situation. So that is machloikus achroinim. What's going to be the halacha in that? What's going to be the halacha when he mashkinoi b'shas halva? Says the Gemara, only b'mashkin shloi b'shas halva, or b'shas halva. If he took a mashkin at the time of the loan, the Rabbi Yitzchak said that he becomes the owner of the mashkin. Certainly, there's no point to that. And it could be that everybody will agree that he doesn't become the owner of the mashkin. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva were arguing about a mashkin that's taking about time at the time of the loan. Rabbi Yitzchak is talking about a different situation of mashkin. So we can't compare, we can't connect the machlokes of Rabbi Yitzchak, the halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak, which is speaking about mashkin shaloi b'shas halva,
versus a mashkin b'shas halval. But it's most interesting, and the Ritva asked the most obvious question. So it seems from the Gemara now that a mashkin that was taken shloi b'shas halval, not at the time of the loan, it's more understandable, belongs to the malva versus a mashkin that was taken at the time of the loan. So asked the Ritva, we could very strongly make a counter-argument. A mashkin that's taken at the time of the loan, where the loiva gave the mashkin to the malva, understanding that if he doesn't give the mashkin to the malva just may not give him the loan, that's the type of a mashkin that the loiva gave ownership to the malva on. But when we speak about a mashkin that was shloi b'shas halval, which like we explained, he really had no choice because he wasn't paying what he owed, why would we say that the loiva, who wasn't doing this voluntarily, is giving up ownership of the mashkin? Says the Ritva, the loiva, in explaining the Gemara, he says the loiva is never really interested in giving ownership of the mashkin to the malva. He says that there's the reason is like this. He says the case that we're speaking about is, as we explained, where the loiva was not able to pay the malva. So he says, when the loiva is not able to pay the malva, the Torah gives the malva certain rights. What are the rights that the Torah gives the malva? The right that the Torah gives the malva is that you could take a mashkin from him. So since the Torah says you could take a mashkin, from him. So that's why the Torah says that since you could take a mashkin from him, the Torah says what I mean to say, says the Torah, is that the malva becomes the owner of that mashkin. Whereas when a loiva gives a mashkin to a malva at the time of the loan, so again, it's not being given because the Torah says you have to give a mashkin. You don't have to get a mashkin. A loan does not require it to be a mashkin. It's just a security. There, clearly, since it's not something the Torah mandated, it doesn't become the property of the malva. Ella, says the Gemara, Mishkan HaShalai B'Shas HaVasai, if the mashkin happened at not at the time of the loan, given the explanation that we just gave, Kul Amloi Pligi, everybody will agree with the opinion of Rav Yitzchak that the malva becomes the owner of the mashkin. The mashkin V'hochop, and Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva are discussing case Mashkinai Shas Havasai, when the mashkin was given at the time of the loan. And now we have a machlokes with Shomer Avir the Kamavki. The machlokes is, what type of a Shomer is it? Is he a Shomer of a Shomer Sachar or Shomer Chinam, as we're about to learn? So as the Ramban says, but we learned at the Brice at the beginning of the Shir, that if there was a Shtar, everybody will agree that the mashkin, the malva has a high level of responsibility, because he already has a shtar. So the mashkin must be representing much more. Ditma, as we learned in the yeshiva, says the Gemara, Shomer Aveda, somebody who's watching something and he's not getting paid for it. So Rava Amar, Rava says he's considered a Shomer Chinam. And Rav Yosef says he's considered a Shomer Sacher Dami, because he's doing the mitzvah of a Shavas Aveda. And the Gemara Masechta Bava Kama, Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, this is Rav Yossi's famous opinion that this person is considered a Shomer Sacher, gives two reasons why he'd be considered a Shomer Sacher. One is that since there's a rule of Oisik B'Mitzvah, Potem and a Mitzvah, so while he's watching the Mashkin, if he's busy with the Aveda, that he won't have to give Tzedakah at that time. So he's benefiting that he wouldn't have to spend the money on tzedakah. So that's why it's considered a Shomer Sacher. Or another explanation the Gemara gives, the Torah told him to do it. And since he has to do what the Torah says, and he's going to get schar, the Pnei Yeshuva says, on for the mitzvah of doing what the Torah says, that's why he's considered a Shomer Sacher. So now there's a very big machlokes rishonim, according to the first explanation that we just gave. The first explanation that we gave is that the reason he's considered a Shomer Sacher, it proved to the Rabbi Yosef that he doesn't have to give tzedakah while he's doing the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. What does that mean? Well,
says Taisus and the Rosh, that while he's working with the Aveda, which is a mitzvah, at that time, if a poor person's going to come to him for tzedakah, he doesn't have to give the tzedakah at that point. But if he's not busy with the mashkin, then he doesn't have the heter of oisik mitzvah patur min mitzvah. The Rashba disagrees. He says that even if he's not actually doing anything with the Aveda, but since he's doing that mitzvah, and we have the halacha of oisik b'mitzvah, patur min mitzvah, even when he's not actually doing anything involving the mitzvah, which is a huge chiddush, as the Rishonim point out. Does that mean that whenever you're doing a mitzvah, you're patur from doing another mitzvah? So let's say we're wearing tzitzis. So we're doing a mitzvah. So does that mean while we're wearing the tzitzis that I don't have to do any other mitzvahs? So the Rishonim say that there's a difference between an aveda and tzitzis. An aveda, even if I'm not actively doing anything with the mitzvah, with the aveda at this very moment, it's something that's on my head all the time, and it's something that the owner could come any time, and therefore, since I have constant obligation, that's why, even though if I'm this moment not doing anything, I'm considered oisig b'mitzvah. Tzitzis is not that way. So that's the Gemara saying, the same machloikis that we're going to have regarding Putud Rabbi Yosef, if you're watching an Aveda, are you a Shem Echinim or Shem Echachar, will be the same question here. So it will be the same machloikis here. Rabbi Kiva will hold that you are a Shem Echachar, and Rabbi Elazar will hold that you're a Shem Echinim. Says the Marlema. So if that's the way we're going to say, this Chiddush that Rabbi Yosef told us, ask the Gemara, does that mean that it's a machloikis tanoim? Says the Gemara, loy. Says the Gemara, no. Because the Shem Aveda Kulama Islod Rabbi Yosef. By there, Rabbi Yosef said as Alocha, when you're watching a lost item. V'hocha, v'mavet tzorach l'mashkin l'mifki, here is how do we look at the relationship between the malva and the mashkin. Mas of a mitzvah covet, that it's a mitzvah with the mashkin, and therefore he's considered a shayim sachar, or mas of a lav mitzvah covet, that's not considered a mitzvah. And therefore he's not, because he lent the money, because he wants to get back the money, and he wants to be able to borrow money, and therefore that's not considered a case of shayim sachar, that even Rabbi Yosef would agree here, that to Rabbi Elazar, that this individual is not considered a Shem Sachar, he's only considered a Shem Echinim. This opens up a very interesting question. When we speak about the Malva, and the Malva, how does the Halacha look at the Malva? Is it considered that the Malva is doing a mitzvah, that he lent you money, and therefore you would be allowed to say Tiskul mitzvahs, or saying tiskul mitzvahs may be considered ribbis. Just like when we learned the second one, Mitzvah, we learned as a concept of ribbis devarim. You're not allowed to say thank you. Maybe you're not allowed to even say tiskul mitzvahs. You're not allowed to say anything because it would be considered ribbis devarim. So I saw two approaches to this. One approach is that, which I think is Reb Moshe's approach, is saying tiskul mitzvahs is certainly not in the category of ribbis. Because Rav Moshe says, just publicizing that somebody did a mitzvah is not considered ribbis. Other opinions are that since saying, and they say that Rav Moshe Shlom Zalman held this way, that even saying thank you is not considered ribbis. Because when you say thank you to somebody, that's the way people speak to each other. When you do something for somebody else, if you go to a store, and somebody sells you something, and he's selling to you, and he wants to sell to you, and he wants to make profit, still saying thank you is accepted. Thank you is part of our speech. But now that we're learning that it might be considered a mitzvah, so even if we'll say that thank you is considered ribbis, tiskul mitzvahs is not ribbis. The Gemara continues back to what we started the shiur with, what Shmuel said, where how do we look at the
Malva's ownership of the mashkin. Says the Marlei Mekatanoi, perhaps it's a machlek, it's this machlek tanoim. The Brisa says, Hamavas Chavera al Mashkin, if somebody lends money to somebody else and receives a mashkin, for nichnas a Shemitah, and now it's Shemitah, and we know that under normal circumstances, Shemitah cancels all loans. Afpi she'ena shava el palga, even though the mashkin is not equal to the entire value of the loan, ena mashamit. The halacha is that Shemitah will not affect this loan. Divrei Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Yehuda Nasi Emer, imay mashkinai k'neged chayvai, if the mashkin is equal to the value of the loan, ena mashamit, then Shemitah won't affect this loan. Vimlav, but if the mashkin is worth less than the loan, mashamit, then Shemitah will affect the loan. My ena mashamit. So ask the Gemara, what was meant when it said ena mashamit to come tanakama? Ilema, if we're going to say that only the amount of the value of the mashkin is not affected by the loan, and the reason why it's not affected by Shemitah is because I paid you back. Ilema, that the Tanakam is only speaking about Shekenegdoi, Mechalda Rav Yehuda Nasi Sover, the Keneged Mami Misham, that even the value of the mashkin won't help you, and even that part of the loan will be canceled because of the Shemitah. If that's the case, a Maitos for Mashkin, why is he holding a Mashkin if it doesn't offer him any protection? Elalaf, the Machloikis there is as follows. The question is, how much does the Mashkin cover? And Lav, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds Keneged Kulay because he holds with Shmuel Kamifki. Now Machloikis Rav Shimon Gamliel holds like Shmuel, that even though the mashkin is not equal to the value of the loan, it cancels the whole loan. And that's why we go back to the halacha that Shmuel taught us, that if the malva loses the mashkin, the loiva doesn't have to pay him back anything. Rav Yehuda Nasi, on the other hand, holds that the mashkin only covers as much as it's worth of the loan. And therefore, the malva will only, Shmiter will only not be canceled to the equal to the value of the mashkin, but not to the balance. Says the Marloi. That's not the way necessarily to explain the machlokes. But Rav Shimon Gamliel holds Kenegdoi, Eloilam Kenegdoi. Everybody's only speaking about that the mashkin is equal to the certain amount. Balkavavki, what's the machlokes here? Tanakam Sover, Shimon Gamliel holds Kenegdoi according to the amount of the value of the mashkin. That amount of the value is protected, that Shemitah can't cancel it. However, Rav Yehuda Nasi Sover, Kenegdoi Nami Mishamit. Even the amount of the value of the mashkin will be canceled by Shemitah. Or the Kamrit, you say, but the question was, isn't the purpose of the Malva receiving the mashkin to protect himself, and here he's not protecting himself in any way. What is the mashkin accomplishing for him? Says the Gemara, what it's accomplishing for him is lezichron dvarim ba'alma. The mashkin is a constant pledge that he owes the money, and since the mashkin serves as a constant pledge that he owes the money, it's not that he takes any ownership of it. He's not taking any ownership of the mashkin. Because that's not why he held the mashkin. The only benefit that the mashkin affords him is that the loiva should not be able to say, I don't owe you money. Our Gemara introduced the concept of oisik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. And as we mentioned when we spoke about it, the question is, how far does it go? That means if I'm doing any mitzvah, even though it's not really preoccupying me, do we still say oisik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah? The Magen Avraham discusses, let's say somebody is a cipher and he sells Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos. The question is, he's doing that for a livelihood. Can we call him a Oisik B'mitzvah, Patur B'mitzvah? So the Magen Avraham in Erechayim, Simon Lamed Ches, Sif Katan Ches says, this person is selling Stam to make a Panasa, and therefore we can't call him an oisik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. But the Chofetz Chaim over there in the Bi'alocha says that we have to look at each situation. We have to see if he also is intending to do a mitzvah, but he has to make a living, so he does it this way. So the halacha is that that's considered, that he's still considered an oisik b'mitzvah, even though he also has the motive of trying to make a livelihood. And it seems that Moshe Sternbuch, in the Tshuvas V'Chagas, Chele Gimel Siman Tezvav discusses it. We have to see what is his main intention in doing this, and therefore we'll be able to determine, is he or is he not an oisik b'mitzvah. Hanulach Shvus Adiyonim, Hanulach Shvus Adiyonim, Hanulach Shvus Adiyonim. Says the Mishnah Kolim, Nishbon Shabbatayr, whenever we speak in the, about somebody who has to make a Shvum Adiraisa, the way the Shvum Adiraisa is established is Nishbon V'lo Mishalman. The purpose of the Shvum is to absolve him from any obligation to pay. And who V'ela Nishbon V'noitlim, but now it says the Mishnah, that there are certain cases where Chazal instituted that somebody will make a shvua, and after he makes the shvua, for Neutlin he'll be able to receive the payment. Hasocher is an employee. Hanigzel, somebody where something was stolen from. Hanechbal, everything will be explained. Somebody who was harmed. Or Shekenegde Chasher al shvua, if the opposing party who's supposed to make the shvua, and like we said, be absolved from paying, isn't able to make the shvua because he's a person that is disqualified from making the shvua. So then the halacha turns it around and says that in that case, so that, for example, as we've been learning so often, if the loiva is supposed to make a shvua, but the loiva is unable to make the shvua, so then the halacha turns it, so if the loiva made the shvua, he'll make the shvua and he won't have to pay. But since the loiva is an individual who can't make the shvua, we turn it around, Chazal turn it around, and make the malva make the shvua, and after he makes the shvua, he gets what he is entitled to. Who? The chavani al pin kasoi. Chavani al pin kasoi is that if somebody owns a store and he has a book, and he sells to people on credit, and he says to somebody, "You owe me the money," the halacha is that he makes it, and the other person says, "No, I don't know," whatever. The Chavani swears that what's in my book is accurate, and that's all that's required. The Rashba says that the truth of the matter is that the Chavani should have no right, because the halacha is that if I claim, come to you and say that you owe me money, and you say you don't, the halacha, and there's some that say even if you say you don't know, you don't have to pay. This is a special takana de rabbanan, in order that there should be able to be business in the world. They used to sell regularly on credit, that the chenveni is able to make the shvua, and then the customer will have to pay. And the Gemara now, the Mishnah now, as we said, will speak about the various cases and discuss the what the Mishnah meant. Hasacha Ketzer, what is meant when we spoke about employee? Says the Mishnah, Amaloi, the employee says to his employer, "Ten li schari, pay me shesh lebiyotcha, pay me the salary, pay me my salary that you owe me." And who I'm in a sati, I already paid you. And the employee says, "I didn't get paid." Who nishba v'noitel? So as we're going to learn very extensively in the Gemara, this is a special tekanas chazal that the employee swears and collects his salary. Rav Yehuda disagrees, and he says we don't make people swear unless there's a moida b'mixas, and only in a case of moida b'mixas, the Mishnah is going to illustrate. There we turn it around and say that the employee swears and gets a salary, and explains the Mishnah. Okay, so Amaloi Tenli Schari Chamishim Dinar. The employee says to his employer, "Give me my salary of 50 dinar." Vuaymer, that you owe me. Voimer has kabalta tenazov. You already got 25, and I only owe you at this point 25. So this is an example of moida b'mixas. And since it's a case of moida b'mixas, as we just said a moment ago, Chazal turned it around instead of saying the employer should swear and be absolved, the employee swears and he gets the money. But the reason, explains the Gemara, is because there was here a Haidah B'Mixas. As we learned earlier in our Masechta, when you have a Maida B'Mixas, previous Perek, there is a Shvuah. But when a case where there's a total denial and there's no Shvuah Midaraisa, to go say that not only will Chazal institute a Shvuah, but Chazal will say that the Shvuah has to be that the employee swears and takes, that's too much to say. Nigzal Ketzer, what is the example of Nigzal? Hoya me'idim oysa shenitzot l'beis l'mashkin and shleib rishos. The Raidim that could testify that somebody entered somebody else's house to take without the owner's permission and take something out. Who I'm the loiva says, what I did was, who I'm a keli natalta. The loiva says, you took something of mine. Who I'm a loiva natalti, and the malva says, I didn't. Nishba avinaitel. Under these circumstances, the loiva would swear and get back. Rav Yehuda Aimer, Achtei Shemek Sada. Again, Rav Yehuda says, the shvu was only instituted when there was some element of Maida B'Mixas. Keitzad, what does that mean? Amaloi, if the loiva says to the malva, Shnei Kelim Natalta, you took two Kelim. Vuayim Natalti Alachad, he says, I only took one. That's where, since we already have a situation of Maida B'Mixas, so they turned around the Shvuah. But if there's no situation of Maida B'Mixas, then we just don't make a whole new Shvuah. Nakba Ketza, continues the Mishnah. What is the case of Nakba? Hoy me'idim ha'isoy, shenichnas tachas yodai shalim. If the person who was injured says, I started off perfectly healthy, v'yotza chavol, and you harmed me, v'amaloi chaval tabi, and therefore the harmed individual says to the alleged perpetrator, you wounded me, you harmed me, v'amaloi chavalti, and he says it's just not true, did halacha is already nishba v'naitel, that the victim swears, to which Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, no, achatei sham miksaida, we could only institute the shua, at least if there was moed v'miksad, keitza amal chavalti b'shtayim, if the victim says, you damaged me in two places, and the perpetrator says, but if there's total denial, which would mean to completely create an entire new shvu, which the Torah doesn't reference, there's no din of turning around the shvu, says the Mishnah.